Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And this sermon for Sex, Suggestion, the Sunday is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. The best stories always seem to be simple, and yet profound. The Lord's parable is a prime example of this. There are very few elements in this parable. A farmer, some seed, and four places where the seed lands. In three of the four situations, there are complications that result in failure. In only one case does the seed not only germinate, but it grows. It matures into fruit, and that 100-fold. Such a basic and bare bones tale. And yet, what a treasure trove of revelation about God and life and the kingdom. Our blessed Lord reveals to you deep and profound theology. Salvation by grace alone, the effectiveness of proper preaching, the nature of evil, the relationship of faith to salvation, the theology of the cross, and the Christian's vocation of bearing good fruit by the faith that God has created within you. All summed up in 75 words is translated into English from Luke's version of the parable. Christians have been considering, studying, teaching, preaching, praying this passage for nearly 2,000 years. They've never run out of things to say about it. This is God's word. And the power and efficacy of that word is summed up in the image of the seed. One little kernel in the hands of a rather careless, reckless farmer has the power to create a world full of fruit-bearing plants. The word of God carries its power within, self-contained and unseen by the eye. And when properly proclaimed by a preacher and when making contact with a hearer, the result is as natural and predictable as a seed sinking into soil. But notice all of the impediments and dangers lurking about. In the first, the word does not penetrate through the ear and down into the heart of the hearer, and the devil is able to pluck it away. This is what happens when hearts are hardened and people make themselves even more impenetrable than their original condition. In the second, the mixed conditions of the heart bear a mixed result. Rapid growth followed by rapid death. Thanks to a shallowness and rootlessness, a lack of discipline for the long haul, it becomes a broken, lost faith in a time of trial. And in the third, a triad of cares, riches, and pleasures conspire to choke out the growth that the Word of God creates, resulting in immature fruit and eventually falling away. These tragic outcomes continue to play themselves out in the same way even today, nearly 20 centuries after our Lord's warning. And that is what it is. A warning to sinful mankind. A warning to you. And the example of the thorny rocky soil, the word of God is preached and is heard. The transaction from sower to soil, from preacher to hearer, is made. Such a faith is even watered through holy baptism. And made to grow. The soil, though, does not make the seed sprout. The soil does not make the seed sprout. For only the Lord's creative power within the word, within the seed itself, can do it. And does it. And yet, in spite of the Lord's power in the seed and in the growing plant, if the hearer of the word surrounds himself and overly concerns himself with thorns, that is, with the kinds of things that have the potential to choke the plant, it should be no surprise to see that a person falls away. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life can often prove fatal to a Christian. The word translated as cares means worries and anxieties. And in this fallen world, what soil is without some of these thorns? Yet wallowing in your worries, allowing your concerns and burdens to take precedence over hearing God's word, permitting your fears and anxieties to cause you to shrink from God's word, is a formula for killing the new man the Lord has implanted within you by the word. Our Lord is warning you not to do this. Depression is no reason to flee the church. Difficulties in life are no reason to distance oneself from God's word. Times of struggle and temptation are especially the times when the word of God needs to be the priority. And here's the amazing thing about this. It cannot even be preached that you are the one to do this. It cannot be said that you make this happen. God's word brings this about in your hearing of his word. In hearing these very words of warning that you're hearing right now. So what does that say to those who aren't in attendance? My friends, these thorns of worries, cares, and anxieties can become an entanglement to the gospel. Watch out. This is exactly what Jesus is warning you against. And likewise with the thorns of riches. One does not need to be wealthy to allow riches to choke out the word of God. Poor people can be just as greedy as the rich. The Lord has given you 6 days to labor and the seventh to rest. While you must do what you must to survive and take care of your families, watch out that the seed of God's word is not choked out by the anxieties of making money. Our Lord himself tells you not to ask, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? Reminding you that the birds do not have barns and the flowers are clothed better than King Solomon. What profit is it to gain the world and lose one's soul? Your Christians do not take God's word lightly. It is exhorting you to treasure it. It is exhorting you to not be frustrated as it tills around within you with its law, bringing you to repentance and belief in the gospel. There's another class of thorns, according to our blessed Lord, pleasures of life. This is a tricky thing to translate it can be understood as passions or lusts, but they may not be sexual. For pleasure is subjective. How it manifests itself will be different in each person, no matter what your pleasure, your joy, your passion is, no matter how innocent it is, no matter how beneficial it may even seem to the kingdom in and of itself. If it chokes out the word of God, it's a death trap. And our Lord tells you to cut it off. In other words, stop it. Kill that fleshly desire by drowning it in the thought, by living in Christ Jesus. For it is better to enter the kingdom without that fleshly desire than to be cast into hell. The triple thorns of cares, riches, and pleasures are especially dangerous to you, dear friends of America. You live in a high-stress, high-anxiety culture. In spite of all that is going on in the economy, America still remains one of the wealthiest nations on the earth, surrounded by countless distractions to draw you away from God's Word, to lure your resources away from the Lord to your own selfish desires. You are people of many hobbies and interests, with more leisure time than any people in history. Indeed, you are surrounded by thorns. So be warned. Thorns are manifestations of sin, a curse of the fall. They are nothing to rejoice over, nor philosophize into some sort of good, nor excuses, nor pain. Abraham's boy Isaac deserved death, just as all mankind. But a ram, a symbolic substitutionary atonement for the boy Isaac, was captured head first in thorns. And it was slaughtered, and instead, so the true substitutionary atonement for not only Isaac, but even for Abraham, for the world, for you, the real sacrificial lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, our Savior Jesus Christ was crucified with his sacred head, wounded by thorns, accomplishing your forgiveness of sins and delivering it to you by God-created faith within you. You know this because you have heard the word. There will be no thorns when paradise is restored, and that restored paradise, that new heaven and new earth, that remade and reborn existence without sin, Satan, and death, is why it is so important to clear out the thorns and give the devil no stronghold to use against you. The thorns are only overcome in the hearing of God's word, in the continued uncomfortableness of God's whole counsel, his law and gospel being preached to you, bringing about repentance and belief, which is faith. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Word made flesh, Christ Jesus, has borne the pain and the shame of the thorns, so that you might live without them, so that you would cast them onto him who took them on himself for you. The Word of God comes to exhort you to discern between rocky and good soil. discern between those things of the flesh and the things of the spirit, and to forego your flesh and live in Christ Jesus, forgiven and free. The key is you will always need to be tilled and cultivated. You will always be in need of having your hardened, stony ground full of thorns churned up. And your sinful flesh is not going to enjoy it at all. But that law and gospel, repentance and belief, consistency, that being in God's word, being killed and made alive while keeping you weak, keeps you strong at the same time. For it drives you to Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the only way that you are made good soil. It's not you deciding to become better. The law will never make you better. It's the Holy Spirit continuing to call you by the gospel, enlightening you with his gifts of word and sacraments, which cultivate you with the law, but brings forth life, bringing forth fruits of repentance because of Christ's merits for you and the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, give thanks for his warnings, for his focus on you and for you. Give thanks that the seed of the woman crushed the serpent's head, that among these thorns of life, that his word and sacraments continue to be delivered to you, pointing you back to his crown of thorns for you, through which, believing in, you have true life. Give thanks that the seed that went into the ground first had to die, only to rise and bring forth life for you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.